Welcome in to episode one of season two, because we have to do seasons for some reason to get our podcast upload.
It's a good excuse for taking a month off.
It's a good excuse for taking a month off. We've taken the last month to plan and to...
Storyboard.
Yeah, storyboard and brainstorm.
Yeah.
That's not true. We've just been busy and all across God's creation. But we're here for season two, which makes it seem, I think, more than it's us sitting in the living room and Evan's on the floor and Will's to my right on the couch. It makes it seem way more like produced to call it season two, episode one.
It is in fact that I am on the floor. You and Will are on the couch.
Listen,
in the living room.
I need you to state, because this is not a visual medium, that you're on the floor by choice.
It's not true. Jordan made me.
Wow, okay, no.
I tried to get on the couch and Jordan knocked it.
I snapped my fingers and pointed at the ground. You know your place. Here we are, season two. The fact that it is season two means we're moving on, because we did wrap up in season one. We wrapped up Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. So the next logical step in the process would be
episode four,
The Cursed Child, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll be talking, of course, at length, about Will's favorite book, which, by the way, bone to pick. Okay. Your favorite book that is the only one you can't find the physical copy of.
No. There are several I can't find.
Okay, that's not the way your wife framed it.
I said he couldn't find the physical copy of this book, so he's using his Kindle.
Yeah, I took liberties with your statement. by the way, if you hear cooing in the background, it's just my son. He's talkative this evening.
It's just me.
Yeah, it's your favorite. It's my son Evan on the ground. What happened to your physical? Is it just like the moving, or you just don't know where it is? Yeah.
Yeah. It's got lost in some move or other, and it's in some box. In my
curious, do you have any of the physical copies at your apartment?
I have one and three.
I see. That's my question. I want to know which ones you have, because I'm trying to draw conclusions.
I have one and three for sure.
These are the ones he doesn't like? Is that weird?
Well, no, it's just funny. Of the ones that you've managed to hold on to and keep present, why is it those?
I think
I'm trying to draw conclusions.
I can take a guess what happened is... Four and up are physically hefty. They're bricks,
right?
They're big books.
Okay. Okay.
So then you got one through three, and if I was gonna pick one out and read it by itself, and lose it in a move, it would be two.
Okay. Fair enough.
We just went way in depth to how this happened. Sure. I love it.
So two. We're speaking of two. Obviously, we're talking about Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
No alternate names for this one.
Right, no, yeah, they stayed away from the, colloquialisms of Britain and America, because they learned that Americans, I guess, are too stupid. So they didn't call it, the Corridor of Mysteries, I guess would be the alternate title.
They do have the Department of Mysteries there, though.
Yeah, she had that in her back pocket, ready to go.
She just put that in.
So we're going to be talking about the Chamber of Secrets. In the last month, we haven't devised... This woman, by the way, in the Oscars on the left there, that I saw that same sweater at Target the other day in the men's section. We have the Oscars on in the background, in case we get bored. We haven't, in the last month, despite having plenty of time to brainstorm, haven't come up with some different format that's going to, revolutionize the Slug Club Radio podcast game.
If we were smart, we would have talked about this before we started recording, but
There's no need. What we did worked. Typical, we're going to shoot the stuff here for the first few minutes. My son's going to yell and make his presence known. And then we'll get into one of the two distinguished gentlemen to my left and right. We'll give a summary and I'll just riff about stuff. That's pretty much it. Just riffing about stuff. Williams.
Is that the title of this episode?
Jordan Williams, riffing about stuff.
Riffing about stuff.
Yeah.
We're not going to say riffin' and stiffin'. We wouldn't say that.
Oh, I don't like that.
That's why we're not going to say it.
If I was immature, I would say it. But because this is
it's a family friendly.
Because
podcast.
This is an esteemed podcast, we wouldn't say riffin' and stiffin'.
You wouldn't say what?
Riffin' and stiffin'. But we're an esteemed podcast, so we wouldn't say it.
We wouldn't say it.
No.
Not riffin' and stiffin'.
No, we would never say that. There's another podcast I listen to called Pardon My Take. that does sports stuff, and he the yeah, one right. of the. One of the guys always says something like that. He was like, listen, if I was immature, I would say that. And he says the entire joke. And he's like, but you know, I'm not immature, so I would never say that. All right. So, quick thoughts on the Super League, Will, because we got to.
Wow.
Will, we are, Evan and I, we're of course speaking of European soccer. Evan and I are proud to say and admit that we are fans of teams that did not throw their hat into the ring with the European Super League.
Right.
Your team is one of the chief offenders.
Yes.
Because Evan is a fan of Everton in the EPL.
Who beat Arsenal over the weekend,
by the way. I mean...
From the Super League.
Yeah, the boys and girls clubs of inner city London could also probably beat Arsenal right now.
That's true.
And then I'm a fan of the German team Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich has stayed out of things because the last time Germans got into a large set of European powers, it didn't really go great.
The last time they seceded from...
And the time before that, arguably worse.
Yes, so, yeah. The Germans typically stay away from large consolidations of power in Europe. It's probably in their best interest. Yeah, probably in their best interest. But, Will, as a Man United fan...
Yeah.
And I would say that you're becoming more of like a Nashville SC fan or whatever, because it's our local team, but you are firmly a Man United fan. Are you ashamed?
Listen, that any cheap money grab that is available, Man U's going for it.
That's so. Yeah. You know why? Because it is run by American capitalists.
Yeah.
And that was the thing, is like when you look at a large conglomerate of the teams that were going into the ESL, of the like 14 teams, a good portion of them are run by American businessmen.
Yeah.
So they're like, how can we make this more like the NFL? Let's do playoffs and let's get commercials and brand deals. And I think, what's the, one of the larger banks?
JP Morgan
said they were going to put $4 billion into the league.
That's what it was.
Something like that. And they based, Camden. Son. My son has a lot of thoughts about the ESL. And it was something like just being in the European Super League would give each team something like $430 million.
Yeah.
Just for being present. But luckily, the good guys have become victorious.
The fans.
Dean Thomas's favorite team would never be involved in something like this.
West Ham would never. What a season they're having, by the way.
They're having a great season.
They are.
Not as good as, you know. Is it arguably, I don't know what they were doing in the early 90s. Is it as good as when Dean Thomas was a fan?
I mean, I feel like everybody's on like almost level 30 back years. Then. So, like, they were probably doing better.
Back when, like, Leeds and Fulham were just running the league. But anyway, so that's the deal. Will is not, you know, casting his stone somewhere else. You know, you're not, like, jumping ship. Because now you're absolved of any responsibility because they're like, listen, we're sorry.
Yeah, they like.
I think it's always funny. Like, how do you back out of that?
They fired like one executive, and they were like, "Oh yeah, it was his fault." Yeah. Okay.
Praise be.
Yeah.
Ed Woodward is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Also, though, the guy Florentino Perez, who like did this whole thing, he is now like, yeah, there was a binding contract. They're actually not out. Nobody's out. Everybody's still in. It kind of scares me a little bit how he's talking about.
Yeah. It's very much like I'm the captain now.
It is. Yeah. They like sold their soul somehow. I don't know what happened. It's like the Dark Mark. One day he's gonna summon them, and they have to come.
Oh, that's true.
I'm saying.
Who's Voldemort in the situation?
Yeah.
If Florentino Perez.
Yeah.
The whole like you're banned from play. The thing that always killed me was like they're going to basically just sabotage the World Cup for the sake of not losing these 14 teams or whatever.
Luxembourg would be winning the next World Cup.
Yeah.
Like Iceland.
Honestly, the thing, and that's, awesome. As Americans, we're in a catch-22 because you would look at it and you'd say, okay, the best players from the best countries are not playing, but also the best players from our own team, Serginho Dest, Christian Pulisic, John Brooks, you know, we'd lose.
Weston McKennie.
We'd lose, like, our best players, and it's like, crap, we got to freaking put Jermaine Jones out there again.
Michael Bradley, call up.
We got to raise the corpse of Kyle Beckerman to put it back in midfield.
Alexi Lawless leaves the broadcasting studio.
Get Alexi Lawless and Stu Holden back in there. But anyway, so that's the ESL talk. It's gone. We don't have to have an inter-podcast, you know, squabble where, you know, Evan and I being the good guys on this side of this equation. You clicked your mouth like you were going to say something. You always do that. When you have something to say, you go.
I get mixed messages on whether or not the participating, like, founding members or whatever would have to leave their domestic leagues. I think no, for the time being.
Anyway. Wait, you mean like, okay, so Man United, so if the European Super League went through, Man United would not be playing in the Premier League.
Correct.
I didn't see that.
They wouldn't be.
They'd be forming their own league.
Yeah,
because
I got that.
Their big issue,
Champions League. No.
Well, in their mind, they were going to get to do the domestic league, the Champions League, the World Cup, all of it. This is another thing.
Yeah.
Or they could,
because it was going to be like a midweek thing.
Yeah.
Right.
But
even though they were complaining about playing too many games,
yeah,
this was somehow solving that.
Yeah, but now, you know, but then FIFA said, "Listen, if you're going to do that, you're not going to play in the Premier League."
Yeah.
Okay. So FIFA.
Well, right. Yeah.
No, that wasn't part of the plan.
Correct.
I don't think so. But anyway, they're showing a wonderful montage of some of the greatest movies in history on the Oscars right now. But anyway, that's all the talk. Oh, it's a Rolex commercial?
Yeah.
What a joke. Anyway.
This is a soccer podcast.
This is now a soccer podcast.
Season 2.
What's the soccer podcast you like?
Caught Offside.
I haven't listened to it yet. I need to.
It's actually a Hani Mukhtar fan cast.
Hani, what a guy.
They do talk about Nashville SC every once in a while now, and it's so strange to me still for them to talk about, like, our team in comparison to, you know, Orlando or LAFC.
Like, Atlanta United. Awesome. Have y'all seen Austin FC? Because it's their first year, and like, just it's the majority owned by Matthew McConaughey. Have you seen him just on the sidelines?
No.
It's great. Their first game they played LAFC. So LAFC is majority owned by Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
So they just had a game, the opening game of the season. You just had Will Ferrell and Matthew McConaughey on the sidelines. And I don't know if you've seen Will Ferrell, like, when he goes to LAFC games, but he looks like the daddiest dad wearing his gear.
Yep.
He wears a hat. Will, look it up.
I'm going to look it up.
Just look up Will Ferrell LAFC. But he has, like, a hat, but, like, Will Ferrell perpetually has, like, that, that, like, tight, curly fro.
Yeah.
And so the hat, like, barely sits atop his curls. He just looks so out of place. It looks like he's doing a bit.
I mean,
but he's,
yeah,
like, but
it's,
he's
a long play.
But the thing is, he loves soccer. Like, he loves. Wait, no, not LAFC. Is it, or is it, yeah, Galaxy?
Who's LAFC?
Is LAFC. But he's, like, got
Making
the whole
Screaming, his best movie of all time.
Did you find it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just looks.
He looks like Kicking and Screaming 30 years later.
Yeah. Who's his father-in-law? That is it, Robert Duvall? Yeah. Anyway.
So Harry Potter.
Harry Poggers. So we'll get into Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. We'll go into chapter 1 first, obviously, just naturally. Unless you just want to start in the middle and work outwards.
I mean, there's not much to chapter 1. I think we could squeeze it into like 5 minutes.
Yeah, we'll work through that since we spent extra time on talking about the European Super League.
What if we do Chamber of Secrets in reverse? We start at the end. Goodbye.
Like Memento. Like a lyrical.
I'll do the backwards moving things, and Evan will do them forwards moving things.
I love it. The pincer movement.
And what will I do? Sure. What will I be doing, Will?
Goofing?
No.
You'll be in your room, really quiet and pretending you don't exist.
I'll be riffing and stiffing.
Oh. I was going for the book analogy.
Pepsi Zero Sugar. How's that?
It's all right.
It's the look on your face made it seem it's disappointing.
It's all right.
Anyway, we're back. Back again.
Back, baby.
Back again. All right.
Boys are back in town.
We'll call it a comeback.
Well, nobody was. But anyway, we'll wrap up our intro. Evan, stop playing with the kid.
He's so happy. Though.
I know he is. We are going to wrap up the intro here because it's gone entirely off the rails. We'll come back and talk about chapter 1 of Chamber Secrets. # riffing and stiffing. We'll be back. And we're back for the summary portion to kick it off for Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Evan has been assigned the task. That man almost fell up the Oscar stage. Evan has been assigned the task by Will to summarize chapter one.
Jordan tried really hard to do it, and I wouldn't let him. I said, Evan's doing this.
Yeah, Will's Jordan like, always tries Will's to fight like, us for the right.
Will's like, Jordan, really? You remember what happened last time? You know. So, what is the name of chapter one?
The worst birthday.
I'm going to be... Okay, so I'm going to be frank with you guys.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I'm now frank.
This is a hot start.
I'm now frank.
I've gotten the chapter title out and I've been stopped. So Jordan can be frank. You didn't read it, is what you're going to say.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I haven't read it. I've
assumed you haven't read any of the chapters we've done so far.
I've actually never read any of these books. I got the tattoo as a front to fit in with people in college. No.
What people were you fitting in with in college?
You've known me for 10 years. You know I didn't get this tattoo till after college.
I know. Oh, gosh.
No, I've obviously read the books. But I don't know.
I don't either. What are you
riffing?
Saying?
Riffing is just fun for me. I get to hear it. I think.
You're
going to
be Frank?
Frank.
That was the Frank thing.
Yeah.
He hasn't read.
Is that I'm enjoying listening to the two of you summarize it because you do it so eloquently that it's almost funner for me to go along for the ride.
Not a word. So, Will, I want to know off the top, actually, before we start summarizing.
Yeah.
Refresh your memories. Why is this your favorite book?
Okay. It is the whodunitist of the Harry Potter books. And it's the first time he goes back. Right. He's been to Hogwarts. This is the first time he's going back. And yeah, it's whodunit time. And
it's whodunit time.
And
we need a song for that.
Starting in book three, they start to like slowly peter off the that formula.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is the one that is the most there's bad stuff. We know that a particular person must be doing it, and we need to figure out who it is and stop them. Right? It is the most whodunit formulaic of the Harry Potter books.
That's fair.
Because after in the third one, it's sort of the opposite. Like we know who, but we don't know what he's up to.
Right? Yeah, yeah. It's a quasi escape convict story.
Yeah.
Classic.
All right. So we cool. got to check the title.
Yeah.
The worst birthday.
Yep. So this is not a visual medium, as Jordan often remarks. So just to...
Well, I just do that for myself more than anything, because all the time I'll be like...
Talk about something on TV and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, no, or something that's here, and then I'm like, they whoever's listening to this does not care about that and cannot see it.
I just want you to describe the picture, right. The illustration at the top of this page.
Okay, so...
Describe Harry to me. His proportions are all wrong, man.
The lead actor in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. with that girl, Carrie Mulligan's haircut from Blue Valentine and Great Gatsby, is sitting on a bench, and directly to his left, our right, is the Pokemon Tangela.
Yes, that's correct.
I mean, honestly, if you're near a physical copy of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets,
listener, what's actually happening in this picture is Harry is sitting on the bench and there's a set of eyes looking at him from the bushes,
which I take to be Dobby.
Big eyes, yeah. Big eyeballs,
which I take to be Dobby.
Yes,
we don't they know call, that they say chapter two.
They say
we
eyes haven't like yet. They say eyes like tennis balls, right?
Eventually, like we're not there yet though.
Like a doll's eyes. That's the second Jaws reference in the last four episodes.
All right, but so
how accurate was that?
That's incredibly accurate. Yeah. Incredibly accurate. All his proportions are wrong. His legs are too short. His torso is too long. His head does not fit his body.
Which yeah, honestly leave like, it there. Looks like a 12-year-old.
He does kind of look
you know, because yeah. like some things like arms yeah, 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 for whatever yeah. reason like your arms will grow first and then like you just look like a you look like Gumby.
Just Gumby all over the place. So we jump back in right with the Dursleys just being awful from the get go, per the usual.
And Harry is... We're just thrown right back in with Harry. Harry's in the middle of the summer. It's an awful time. He's with the Dursleys. They're even worse than usual. Partly because they're terrified of him. Because he still hasn't told them he can't do magic at home. And they think he can. So they're scared of him. So it kind of works. Doesn't really work, though. There's just some really funny stuff. You get some really, like... She jumps you in with the descriptions of people. Uncle Vernon sat down breathing like a winded rhinoceros and watching Harry closely out of the corners of his small, sharp eyes. So she just jumps you right back in with descriptions of all the people.
Which, honestly, the way that she describes all the Dursleys, you would think they're just abominations of human beings. Like, at a certain point, like, if you take, like, like, to use a word I've already used twice in this podcast, if you take a conglomeration of the things that, like, she describes them as, and you build it, it looks like... You know those old flip books? They were, like, in three sections, and you could give, like, a human a certain set of eyes, and then torso. Yes. That's exactly what she did with the Dursleys. It's like she put a bunch of weird physical characteristics in a fishbowl and then drew them out in each book. And in chapter one of each book described them differently.
I feel like people just gave her words and were like, yeah, but you can't use this. Get that in there. Harry, also, we start off, he's just trolling his aunt and uncle. They ask him for a frying pan. He says, "You've forgotten the magic word," which just sets them off immediately about using that word in the house. Blah, 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 blah. Harry...
Which obviously means that the Dursleys think that the way to do magic is simply to say the word magic.
Yes,
they're worried. Worried that him simply saying the word magic is going to result in magic, which makes me think that J.K. Rowling should have capitalized on that and just had one of the spells just be magic.
Well, yeah, and that kind of comes up in just a little bit. Actually, we'll talk about that. But
Harry's spell.
Yeah. One of the great things about these books is you can pretty much pick up wherever you want, and at least three pages of the opening chapter will be summary of what's happened before. So we get picked up that Harry was a wizard. He really misses Hogwarts. He misses all the things, but what he misses most is his friends, who have not written to him, by the way, because they're terrible. And he's really, really sad about it. He fought Voldemort, the dark wizard, darkest wizard of all time last year, and now he's just sitting at home friendless and with the Dursleys, and it's terrible. And then we find out that Uncle Vernon says, "Now, as we all know, today's a very important day," and Harry thinks it's gonna be about his birthday, because
be such a turn of events.
It would be, but even if you hate a person, you know it's their birthday, you know?
Yeah,
there's a special insult in like just not even remembering it was somebody's birthday.
Like, yours is December 15th.
Oh, thanks, man. Yours is someday in June.
And I hate you. I hate you. Your birthday is December 15th, 1992.
So, what Uncle Vernon has going on, this sets up importantly for the next chapter, is a huge dinner party. Uncle Vernon is the dullest person on the face of the planet, and he sells drills. That is all he does. He does not sell other construction equipment.
No.
He just sells drills.
Just the pointy corkscrewy bits.
Yep. And he's got some...
Propane and propane accessories.
Who's that from?
King of the Hill.
Oh, never watched that.
So he's got some rich builder and his wife coming to dinner, and Uncle Vernon was hoping to get a huge order from him. So they are going to schmooze the heck out of these people.
What were their
names? The Masons. Mr. and Mrs. Mason.
Can I take your coat, Miss Mason?
And there's this wonderful little bit where Uncle Vernon is running through everybody's instructions for the evening, and, like, you know, Dudley's supposed to, "Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Mason, may I take your coat?" He's supposed to be all proper and stuff, and Aunt Petunia can't handle it. It's just so cute watching her little pudgy pig face kid say this. And then Uncle Vernon keeps turning around to Harry and saying, "And you?"
"And you, boy?"
And Harry says,
"I'll be in my bedroom making no noise and pretending I'm not there."
Over
in the
and
movie,
over
doesn't he say, "Pretending not I exist. Don't exist"?
Yeah. I like that better, actually.
I do, too.
So we go around like this a couple of times. The most egregious... I don't know why they thought the Masons would ever buy into any of this, but at one point...
We're talking about where Dudley wrote his paper?
Dudley's supposed to say, "How about we had to write an essay about our hero at school, Mr. Mason, and I wrote about you." I would see right through that in a heartbeat. Oh, can I hear about it?
What does it say after that? Because doesn't it say that Petunia, like...
This was too much for both Aunt Petunia and Harry. Aunt Petunia burst into tears and hugged her son, while Harry ducked under the table so they wouldn't see him laughing. If I said that in the presence of my mom, she'd be like, oh, gosh. Stop it.
Like that fish from SpongeBob. Oh, brother, this guy stinks. You see, remember that one yes. fish?
Yes. So we get this exchange a couple of times. Harry's supposed to be in his room. He eventually goes up there. He's singing happy birthday to himself. He's a very, very sad boy that he's alone on his birthday. He does. Happy birthday to me.
Really sad.
No cards, no presents, and he could be spending the evening pretending not to exist. So he is not having a great time. And then... I am in the right chapter, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was about to say, are we already...
Notice how it says chapter 1 at the top?
Shh. Shush. Harry is out back, and he's supposed to just stay out of the way while Aunt Petunia is... That is a great film, by the way. Sorry, Onward just came on television.
Onward from Pixar was nominated for Best Animated Feature.
I cried many tears in that movie.
Was that in 2020?
Yes.
Came out literally 2 weeks before COVID.
It's the last one I saw in theaters.
Same. Mm-hmm.
Come on with it. All right, anyway. So Harry's out back, and he sits bolt upright all of a sudden because he had been staring absentmindedly into the hedge, and the hedge was staring back.
It was a Tangela.
It was a Tangela. Two enormous green eyes had appeared among the leaves. But Dudley shows up and decides it's time to troll Harry back. I know what day it is, sang Dudley, waddling. Perfect. Just the word choice of waddling. Like, you know what he looks like just by that one word choice. I love it.
I'm assuming at this point he looks like Violet Beauregard post...
Blueberry. Yeah, I think so too. So Harry and Dudley start talking, and Dudley is making fun of him for not having any friends. And then Harry, to your point, Jordan, the Dursleys clearly don't know how magic works at all, because Harry starts saying, jiggery pokery, hocus pocus, squiggly wiggly.
Jiggery pokery is my favorite fake spell there is.
And then Dudley is screaming, Mom! We get some either a kid exaggerated or just very egregious child abuse. Aunt Petunia swings a frying pan at Harry's head, and he misses. Like, he dodges, so it's fine.
It was the 90s. They could get away with that.
I guess, man. Then she gave him work to do with the promise he wouldn't eat again until he'd finished. So, Harry finishes his chapter going upstairs because the Masons are arriving, and he walks into his room to realize there was somebody already in his room. Basic summary of this chapter, the Dursleys still stink. Harry really, really misses Hogwarts. Something bad is clearly about to happen with this party, and there's somebody in Harry's room. And it's not a Tangela.
Well, we don't know that yet.
It's true.
Jury is still out on which Pokemon it is.
That is true.
Which we're about to get, I guess, would it be Harry's first, like... Like, just one-on-one interaction with a creature? Like, that's not...
Friends?
It's true.
Maybe,
besides yeah. Fluffy.
Well, I'm saying, like, a sentient creature. Does that make sense? Like yeah. a house... Because, like, he saw goblins or whatever.
Yeah.
But he didn't, like... That Hagrid was taking care of those interactions.
Yeah.
So it's like, even though he's seen them, he hasn't, like, interacted with them much. So to have what shows up in Chapter 2 just in your bedroom...
After not hearing anything from the magical world.
Unannounced is an issue.
Yeah.
So, anything we need to discuss on chapter one? It's a lot of just exposition.
It's a lot of, like, remember last book?
Yeah.
Which, like, had we not just read the last book so recently?
Right. We can laugh about it now, but...
Yeah.
Because we just spent, like, 10 episodes talking about the first one, but...
Right, yeah.
I get it.
If we've read it once...
So, I think we talked about, too, when we even set up Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Like, when we were talking about the first few chapters, it always is just kind of dull.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have to continue to get, like, the Dursleys are bad, and Harry is misunderstood and neglected, and...
Yeah.
But I will say that, like, as the books go on, we get out of that quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it is just kind of like, here's this that's happening.
I mean, we get out of it quicker in two than we did in one.
Yeah, and then I think it progressively, like, and then three, it's like, you have the thing that happens, and then he's gone, and then four, Arthur Weasley picks him up and takes him to the Quidditch World Cup at, like, the second chapter or something. It's, like, it's very fast. So,
I mean, just to put in, like, J.K. Rowling is exceedingly terse with her words and just is able to pack in so much in little bits. This chapter is 11 pages. And in this, we get tons of the Dursleys are terrible. We also get, like, a paragraph that describes them so well in so few words that you have a perfectly clear picture of everything that they are from the get-go. You get a summary of what's happened before. You get tons of looks into Harry's head about what's going on. You get set up for the next chapter. She's very, very effective at bringing people in at a good speed. That it doesn't drag on for people who have read the last one, but it also is enough that you can kind of jump in if you never have.
That's what I think once you get later into the books, she realizes, like, eventually you move past the point of caring about the Dursleys because they, at a certain point, no longer have an effect that matters on Harry.
Yeah.
So it's good for now, but, you know, eventually it just kind of moves on. Anything else?
Good stuff.
Nope. All right, I'm going to finish this cookie. We're going to take a quick break and come back in chapter two from Will. Yes?
Yeah.
All right, be right back. Chapter two, Chamber of Secrets. Evan did so marvelously for chapter one. Thank you for your service. We're going to pass it to Will now, the expert. What is there, do I need to describe the, here, give me your book, Evan. Oh, this is a good one. Okay.
Jeez.
Make me sit on the floor. So the marionette puppet from that Max Lucado book.
We're describing the illustration at the beginning, by the way.
Also, you know what I'm talking about? Will knows what I'm talking about.
I don't know that one.
Has what appears to be a little fez hat, right? Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah.
That the Shriners wear. And he's wearing, I was going to try to come up with something funny. It's just a pillowcase. Yeah. But it looks like he's, it looks, I don't know, he looks like a court jester, a small court jester. So there's, it looks like there's a lute nearby somewhere. And he's got little shoe, little pointed rolly shoes on. But to be fair, I haven't looked at that Max Lucado book in a number of years.
It's not bad. It's not a bad.
Yeah, you are special.
That's such a creepy cover.
Hey, that's actually a very good book.
Oh my god.
Anyway. It's Dobby.
Max Lucado, if you're listening.
Dobby also has very full, voluptuous lips. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, very sensual, Dobby.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Dobby in the movies.
Dobby is very sensual.
Would you like Dobby to kiss you?
Master says Dobby's lips are always looking very sensual.
His eyes are, like, very, they're like deep pools of water.
He kind of looks very feminine.
Yeah, but I mean,
he's got like nice eyelashes.
You don't have to. I'm not saying. I'm not saying that this was what you were doing, but like, oh, actually, but like, you don't really have to. You can't really ascribe masculinity and femininity because they literally are a different breed or species of thing. But yeah, he does have very effeminate features, at least in that drawing in the book. In the movie, he's closer to a Mogwai than he is anything else.
A Mogwai?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's mostly just the eyes.
Okay.
He is very cute.
He is very cute.
I saw a BuzzFeed article the other day that said if you could only save one, which would you save? And it was between, like, if you had the power, would you either save, I think it was Dobby or Baby Yoda?
Oh, Dobby. Guys, what has Baby Yoda done for anyone?
Yeah, that's the thing.
The magic hand thing.
He
did the magic hand thing.
Dobby
for,
saved like 14 people throughout the course of the books.
Yeah, Baby Yoda's morality has yet to be unpacked.
Baby Yoda did the magic hand thing for Apollo Creed.
I mean, yeah.
Do you know that was the guy that played Apollo Creed?
I guess that's good.
In the original Rocky movies that's in Mandalorian?
Hmm.
It's the same guy. What's his name? Carl Weathers.
Yeah. Same actor. Okay, so I love that we have a new segment where it's just me blindly describing the illustrations of the book. That's gonna be a banger this season.
He's got a really cool hand position too.
Yeah. It looks like he just said, "Girl." All right. The name of this chapter is
Dobby's Warning.
Yes.
Which is a little on the nose. Like,
there's Who's
a
lot Dobby? Of, What's his warning?
There's a lot of traffic buildup on the 505.
Make sure to plan accordingly.
Make sure to take the 20 instead. That's all it is.
We're gonna get a warm front coming in.
He just showed up to give the meteorology report. Oh God!
It's gonna mix with pockets of cold air. We're gonna get some. Gonna get some rotation.
Isn't that every meteorologist's favorite phrase? Look here, we see a hook. That's a little rotation on the wall cloud.
Anyway, here's your bloody lettuce.
Come on, these letters kind of suck.
I intercepted these in that bush out there. All right. Anyway, he started to sound a lot more like Dolores Umbridge there.
All right, so...
All right, we're back. Sorry, we had some technical difficulties. Will, you were just about to get into summary of chapter 2.
Yeah. So there's something in the room.
Started a horror movie right there. There's something in the room.
It's not romantic tension.
The little creature on the bed had large bat-like ears bulging... And bulging green eyes the size of tennis balls. Harry knew instantly this is what had been watching him from the garden hedge that morning. So, very, very important stuff that it was watching him from the hedge, according to my Kindle highlight from 4 years ago.
Longer than that. We graduated years ago.
6 years ago. Wow.
Did you take a senior year?
How about that?
Yeah, we did. I think I think it may have been our first semester, too. I thought it was fall. So it's almost been like... I thought it had been. Maybe not.
Wow, that's wild.
I also took film with him, but I think that was junior year.
You took film?
Yeah.
I didn't know he did that class.
Yeah, it was good.
We took a course in college. Will and I did. Evan.
Did you?
You weren't in there, no.
I never did, no.
What's funny is we took that class together, but I didn't know a ton of other people in our... I mean, I like knew them kind of. But we took a course at our university called Harry Potter and the Gospel, which was like a... was wild that was even offered, but it was so good.
It was similar to two other classes that I took with the same professor. He did C.S. Lewis.
Did you take that one as well?
Life and Works of C.S. Lewis.
Oh,
and
you said
Gospel
film?
And Film. Mm. Yeah. So they were all just evangelism.
What was your favorite? Basically.
Probably... I don't know. I feel like C.S. Lewis has more like... to it, like more like
right
like
mm-hmm.
There's definitely more like Christology when you're talking about C.S. Lewis naturally,
but I think
keep talking film, I'm gonna get water.
The film one might have had the most like influence on me in terms of like
wow
look for the gospel everywhere sort of thing.
So Harry Potter's down at the bottom of those?
No, I think it was just like I had already taken the same structured course twice and this was like do it again but Harry Potter, which was really cool. But, it's a good class. But anyway, for some reason, when I took that class, I thought it was super important to point out that this was what I'd been watching in the garden hedge that morning. Harry can hear the commotion from the dinner party downstairs while he is trying to keep, this creature quiet and... He finds out that it's a house elf named Dobby, who is the, like, servant, we'd probably say slave, of...
Put a pin in that, listener, for later.
Like a family of bad people, basically, we get that impression. Dobby is trying to warn him about... something bad that's going to happen at Hogwarts, and he's trying to do it without saying anything specific because he feels like he can't. And throughout this process, he's like beating himself over the head with different objects in the room. He's banging himself against a wall. He's like really, really making a whole thing of like physically punishing himself while doing this. And Harry's trying to figure out what's going on and also trying to keep him quiet because the Dursleys are going to get mad. At one point, Vernon comes up and is like, hey, I'll kill you.
And no exaggeration. That's what he says.
And so, yeah, that's a lot of what's going on. And at some point in this process, Harry figures out, or Dobby sort of reveals that he's been holding Harry's letters. Now, I don't know if we know the exact mechanics of how he's doing that. Like
magic, man.
Somehow he's stopping the owls from delivering letters to Harry.
He just went to the postmaster and was like, hey, Harry Potter asked me to receive
everything for forward all of his posts to the bushes outside.
Do you think Dobby's been living in the bushes?
Just snatching for the birds? Whole summer?
That makes him way creepier than I ever thought he was.
Yeah. So, yeah, Dobby runs downstairs when Harry like tries to like jump him for the letters. Dobby runs downstairs, basically threatens Harry that if he doesn't promise not to go back to school, that he's gonna do something, and it's not really clear what it is, but he like magics Aunt Petunia's beautiful dessert pudding to the floor, where it makes a big crash and a big mess. And
now the Masons know.
The Masons are confused that there's this boy in the hallway who's just throwing a pudding to the floor. Dobby disappears, like, just, he apparates out of there. And the, Harry's just standing there covered in, like, cream and cherries and stuff. And, Dobby has just blown Harry's cover in the house, and almost immediately a letter comes in, an owl flies in with a letter that Vernon makes him read as soon as the Masons have left, and it says, you know, that he is expelled from Hogwarts or something. Yeah.
He gives a warning, I think.
Yeah, it's just a warning this time. Not permitted to perform spells outside of school. Any further spell work may lead to expulsion.
Yours truly, Mafalda Holtcutt.
We hear from Mafalda
so much
throughout the books.
She's from the Improper Use of Magic office, which has to be the most boring bureaucratic nonsense job.
I don't know. You think it's more boring than Arthur Weasley?
Yes.
Yeah, he's...
This is like the hall monitor.
What's his? Is it the misuse of muggle artifacts? Yeah. Right? I love that they have so many departments based on the misuse of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have preventative measures in this world. No. Just
strictly reactive. Yes.
So Harry is devastated on like two or three different counts. Number one, he's blown Vernon's big sale. I'm sure Harry's very sad about that. Two, he has been like, he's gotten in trouble with the law in his first like summer away from
he's 12.
School. Yeah.
It should be noted.
Yeah, he gets a rap sheet super early on in his career.
He's killed a guy and now he has a rap sheet. Well, I'm just gonna point that out.
Indirectly murdered him.
Yeah. And he's
it murder if it's the most dangerous wizard in the world?
Well,
that everybody literally wants dead. World.
He kills the professor.
Well, wouldn't we say that Voldemort killed the professor? Anyway, Will, I'm cutting across.
Sorry.
You.
Yes.
The most, I hope the, what you're going to say is the most devastating thing about this whole charade is that we don't get to hear Uncle Vernon's Asian golfer joke.
Japanese golfer.
Okay.
So,
be specific.
I went continental just to avoid making, you know, generalizations.
So, actually,
I know his joke.
I do too.
I did notice. In the movie, it's the Japanese golfer joke. In the book, it's the American plumber story.
Is it?
Well, that's what he asked Mr. Mason to tell Petunia, is the American plumber story.
Oh, yeah. Tell Petunia that very funny story about the American plumbers, Mr. Mason.
Do you think, you definitely think it's a joke about a butt crack, don't you?
I have no idea.
Like, it has to be.
About a butt crack?
Yeah, because you know how, like, Have you never heard this?
No. Why would it be?
Okay, so
is this
like
appropriate to put on a podcast?
Growing up in like my family, like, you know, like if your butt crack was just like buried showing up above your pants, like when you bent over something, uh-huh. It was my family always called that a plumber's crack.
Oh, yes. Sure. I thought we were relating this to the Japanese golfer.
No. About the, I was saying the American plumber story sure. Is going to be a butt joke.
Yeah.
That's why she wants to tell you. Yeah.
Or you're just making fun of Americans. Who knows?
I mean, yeah.
One or the other.
Americans and their butts. Nah. And their butt cracks above their pants. Above their pantaloons.
Yeah, well, for them, pants is what we would call underwear. What do they call?
Trousers.
It's friggin' idiots.
Or knickerbockers, right?
So now...
You said Harry was very upset.
Yeah, so he's upset. He's upset about the sale.
Right.
Very sad about that.
Yeah. Right. Because Harry was going to see a lot of financial returns on that drill sale.
Yeah, he was looking forward to,
yeah.
I don't know, the extra pair of socks he was going to get.
Yeah, Dudley's getting new socks, so therefore he's getting new socks.
He's getting Dudley's old socks.
Yeah.
He's upset that he's gotten in trouble with the law. And now, most importantly for his current situation is the Dursleys know he can't do magic. And Vernon is like...
He's like, dang it, we had a nice thing going.
...giddy about this. And it says, laughing like a maniac, he dragged Harry back upstairs. So Vernon then puts bars on his window.
Like an insane person.
And he fitted a cat flap on the bedroom door so that small amounts of food could be pushed inside 3 times a day. They let Harry out to use the bathroom morning and evening, and otherwise he was locked in his room around the clock. So he is in solitary confinement, like Count of Monte Cristo style imprisonment here. And so it's some pretty hard time that Harry's serving. And he's going through this for 3 days. Gospel? Anyone? He's locked in his room.
Jesus. The stone was rolled away.
And
I never realized that. That's funny. Not that that was intentional. That's not anything. Obviously not intentional. It's just funny. Because normally I would catch something like that. Like even if it is nothing, I'd be like, right. Oh, 3 days, how funny. all it took was you going, Jesus, anyone?
So one on the third day, Aunt Petunia is pushing through a bowl of cold soup into the room, and Harry drinks a little bit of it, gives the rest to Hedwig. And
doesn't it say that like Hedwig didn't want it either, or is that just like the movie I'm thinking about?
She's mad.
She like
about
turns her nose up at it because she eats, I think, mice, right?
Mm. Yeah. Well,
he lets her out to hunt, and that's invariably what she gets.
But he says she's got to eat.
Is it in that movie or is it in Prisoner of Azkaban where Harry goes, she's bold?
This one, yeah.
This is the only one where she's like confined. Like,
yeah.
If I could let her out for a few hours a night, she's bold. So then Harry has a dream that he is an animal in a cage at a zoo with a card that reads underage wizard. And the Dursleys come by and Dobby comes by and says, at least you're safe in there. And the Dursleys come by and laugh at him. And then he opens his eyes.
And then Dudley falls in the enclosure.
I was going to say, I think that is maybe like a reference back to the first book a little bit, that Dudley's rattling the bars of Harry's cage.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good metaphor.
Then he wakes up from his dream and Ron Weasley was outside Harry's window. And that's how that chapter ends.
She's the queen of the cliffhanger so far in this book.
Yeah, he's on a second story window with bars on it, and his best friend is just hovering out the window.
I can't wait till Ron gets the howler because Evan's gonna do the howler. I'm just thinking about it. I'm excited now, and that's like 5 chapters away.
Can't wait.
How dare you steal that car? How
dare you steal that car?
Your father's facing an inquiry at work.
It's like I'm in the room with that.
And then it's like, and then she's like, Ginny, congratulations on Gryffindor, by the way. Your father and I are so proud. hello, Harry, dear.
That's
I was going to say, Harry has a lot of like fever dreams.
Yeah.
And and I'm realizing once we're rereading these and talking about them that he has like so many, and she goes, she, I guess I underestimated or under noticed how many in my first few read throughs of the books, or just wasn't paying attention to it. But she uses like dreams a ton. Like in the first book, like, you know, I think the first dream he had was like Draco turned into Snape's face, and then he saw the back of Quirrell's head or something. Like there was all this like,
yeah,
but he has dreams and like weird dreams a lot.
When she says in the first book, he always dreamed about a green light.
Yeah, flash of green and a high pitched. Yeah. And a woman's voice. Yeah.
Yeah. She just used a lot. I have a question for you guys. He paid a man to fit bars on Harry's window.
Did he pay a man or did
he? Paid a man.
Because in the movie, he did it.
He did it. In the book, he pays a man. What is my guy doing that he's like, oh, what's this for on this second story window? Any of the other ones?
It's probably like he explained to the masons, like, he said, didn't he pass it off at, like, there was a cat upstairs?
Well, once the pudding fell, he was like, oh, our nephew
is very disturbed.
We kept him upstairs because so people scare him or something like that. So maybe he's convinced somebody that this is like
bloody bird. Like
some sort of asylum situation.
Yeah.
I would just pass on the offer if I'm this guy. I don't think so.
My nephew,
he just got Harry on the other side of the window just with his hands up on the glass.
He's a danger to himself and others, and
you were just like, he doesn't look like a danger.
Harry's got like Love Actually cards that he's trying to,
or like from the
deliver a message to the
from kid. The Taylor Swift music video where they're like
sorry.
This is what, was that love song, right? Love story.
I just can't imagine doing that.
I saw a TikTok recently talking about I'm not gonna be able to recall it. I'll just send it to you later, Will, because you'll appreciate it. Sorry. I thought I was going to have something groundbreaking there, but I don't. Anything else from chapter 2?
I'm not smart enough to pick up any social commentary that J.K. Rowling's writing in there, but I feel like
Dobby's... definitely don't lock your kids with bars and cameras.
I feel like that's obvious. Maybe not in Britain. I don't know. But Dobby, his reasoning is definitely like... the same way that Umbridge later on is a critique of the education system, Dobby is being critiqued in some way of like, it's for your own good, I have to do it, you made me do it. I don't know if it's like helicopter parenting or like what it is.
Yeah.
But there's something going on there.
It's definitely like the old freedom versus security, dichotomy issue. But
what's it called when, oh man, the show Sharp Objects was all about this.
Oh, you would like that. It's got Amy Adams and some other people.
Yeah.
On HBO.
The mom is amazing in it.
The mom is Patricia Clarkson. I can't believe I just pulled that name out of the ether.
Let's see if you can pull this out. The disease that the mom... well... spoilers! Sorry! There's a disease where like you have to make other people dependent on you.
Yeah.
So like nurses who will make patients intentionally sick. It's like Munchausen?
The sixth sense situation?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Like you have to make people sick too.
Yeah.
Oh, it isn't Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
But Dobby's kind of got that going on. Like.
Yeah.
No, I have to protect you, Harry Potter.
I'm gonna break your arm and fix it myself.
Never kill, only harm. Seriously, man. Yeah.
Never kill Harry Potter, only injure or seriously maim.
He's got some stuff going on.
They're so... as much as I'm not a huge fan of Chamber of Secrets, like, on the whole, I don't think it's bad.
Yeah.
Like, we get two all-time characters in this book.
Yeah.
Dobby and Gilderoy Lockhart. Like, two of the all-time greatest Harry Potter characters, just from a sense of just levity and just goofy enjoyment.
I mean,
your Twitter bio still... says, winner of six, five-time winner of Witch Weekly's
Most Charming Smile.
Yeah, his Twitter bio says 5-time winner of Witch Weekly's Most Charming Smile Award.
Oh boy, Will.
My Twitter bio says Pete next to Neil Patrick Harris in 2018.
Listeners, in case you're wondering, Jordan immediately texted about that and sent pictures of him outside.
Outside, yeah, not inside the bathroom. Evan, we watched a lot of How I Met Your Mother in college.
Yeah.
And so I was at Disney World with my wife. My wife.
My wife.
Season two. There it is. Oh. We hit our quota. And Neil Patrick Harris is like a known big Disney fan. And we were at Animal Kingdom. And it was one of those things because our female listeners won't understand, but you guys sitting next to me will. Like, you just don't make eye contact with the person next to you at the urinal. Like,
no, you look straight ahead or down.
That's just not something you do. But like, it was one of these things where, like, I walked up and I just kind of, you give the, like, nod. Like, if they look at, like, your direction, you just kind of, like, and he looked at me, like, kind of for a split second, and we both gave each other a nod. And so then I had to spend the next, like, 16 seconds peeing going, I think that's Neil Patrick Harris. And it certainly was. And then so it was, like, he left, and then I went up and washed hands next to him, and then we went outside. And then when I went outside, I got out before him. Because I wanted to get a good vantage point to see, because I obviously couldn't stare at the man for extended periods of time in the bathroom.
A little bit awkward.
Yeah, and then he went outside and he had an employee that was like his attendee that was walking him onto rides and stuff. I was like, huh, that's Neil Patrick Harris.
That's interesting. Neil Patrick Harris, like, thinking about that beautiful scene you've just painted for us.
Mm. Mm. It was romantic.
Neil Patrick Harris is like the level of famous where, like, Every time he's in public, someone is going to know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But
everyone.
He's not at the level of famous where everybody knows right. who he is. So he may not know if you knew who he was. Like,
I think he was wearing like a hat, too, if I remember.
He was. The picture you sent. And the thing is too, like, we live in Nashville, which is, like, I don't know how often you guys do, but I see, like, athletes and music stars, not all the time. But enough.
Fairly often.
Like, sometimes a year. More than somebody in, like, Kansas City yeah. sees somebody yeah. famous.
Yeah.
And so I think we naturally just have this, like, oh, yeah, that's such and such.
Yeah.
Now, seeing a movie star is different because that doesn't happen often here. Yeah. But we've got, like, Justin Timberlake lives here. And
Keith Urban,
Nicole Kidman. Like, there's some big stars. And so, like, when I saw Neil Patrick Harris, I was like, all right, play cool. But I was like, there's part of me that's like, that's Doogie Howser.
I'll be honest. There's, like, a 3% chance I could have actually peed after.
You got stage fright?
100% I would have, yeah. In that moment,
like,
I'll be like,
oh no, Neil Patrick Harris knows I pee.
What if it's loud?
That is a worry.
What if he let out a little tootie?
Yeah, what if I fart in front of Doogie Howser? It's a worry, yeah. No, I get it.
I know.
I respect your self-awareness, for sure.
I know.
Anyway,
I would have worried.
So that's how chapter two ends.
It's with Neil Patrick Harris in the urinal.
Yeah. That's actually the punchline to the Japanese golfer joke.
Oh.
And then he goes in the clubhouse and pees next to Neil Patrick Harris.
Have you ever looked up, do we know if J.K. Rowling has put out somewhere in the Harry Potter sphere the end of the joke?
See,
like, what it is.
Like, I hope she hasn't, but I'm afraid she has.
Although we have, the thing is that we recently had the, like, the Stop Asian Hate thing.
Yeah, sure.
So she'll retroactively tell the joke, you know, because it's beneficial to her now.
Well,
she actually said
to have Uncle Vernon canceled? Is that the
Yeah, idea? Yeah. She's the queen of retrofitting.
Yeah.
In case you guys were wondering, I think it is out there. I'm not going to read it because I don't know what it is yet, and I don't trust it.
Then how do you know? Oh, did you just search Japanese golfer joke?
Harry Potter. Yeah.
Hey, Harry Potter.
I wonder that.
Harry Potter!
I worry that's a bunch of bloggers who have written their own Japanese golfer joke.
It's just going to be something really insensitive.
Terrible. Yeah.
Or just not funny. Out. Well, I mean, if it's a Vernon Dursley joke, so it's not going to be funny.
Sure.
Anything else?
I don't know. I was waiting for you to find the Japanese golfer joke. But I don't think you're that committed. I think you're on Facebook or something.
No.
Okay. All right, Will, do you have anything else?
No.
Okay. I don't either.
But I am excited to hear
yes.
Evan sing us out again.
So just like season one, we're going to wrap it up with a... what's the word I'm looking for? With a dramatic recital.
Okay.
Of the Harry Potter theme. Evan, take it away.
A always like to pause for dramatic buildup.
Yeah, yeah. You're still thinking about peeing next to the magic hair.
Do 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 do.
It's always that note.
I can't handle you doing that.
Doing what?
Do 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 do